Hey, everybody, Matt, Jess and Dave here.
Sorry, Jess, just butting in quickly to let the listeners know that I'm going to be in Sydney this week, coming up the 8th to the 12th of May, and you can get tickets now via mattshieldcomedy.com, then going straight to Brisbane on the 16th to the 19th. So tickets for my show Dryer Dryer in Sydney and Melbourne.
Sorry, Matt, I'll just cut you off there. I just need to tell everyone that our quiz show, our web series, is out right now. Do go on the quiz show. You can see it on Stupid Old Channel for free on YouTube. Type in "Do Go On The Quiz Show" and you can see three episodes right now covering topics like Google, Queen Victoria, the Olympics, and we got five more episodes coming up. So like and subscribe, whatever that means.
They are big topics too. And I said Sydney and Melbourne. I meant Sydney and Brisbane. Anyway, let's get on with the show.
I'm still here too.
Oh, hey, Jess.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
Welcome to another episode of Do Go On. My name is Dave Warnke, and as always, I'm here with Jess Perkins and Matt Stewart.
Hey, I'm Matt Stewart. Welcome to Christmas.
And I am Jess Perkins. And I just also wanted to say, welcome to Christmas.
Well, if I could correct both of you and say welcome, everybody, to Krish-mish.
Of course. I knew we'd say it wrong.
This is our, we shouldn't be getting it wrong. This is our, I can't believe this, our sixth annual Christmas episode now.
Which doesn't make any sense.
It's amazing.
Name them all, Jess. What have we done in the past?
Fucking no.
Because, you know, around the world, it's people's Christmas tradition, so Krish-mish tradition of listening to the marathon. So it starts with Santa Claus. Yes.
An origin story.
Then I think maybe...
Krampus,
Evil Santa.
Then we did Krish-mish Mysteries.
Part one. That was the one where halfway... We did a live in Brisbane and I realised... midpoint that it was a bit too grim.
It was the most really grim live report we'd done up until that point. But don't worry, we did serial killer special once. Just did Dr. Death.
Yeah, it was not good.
That one was only ever released to the patrons. The only people who could handle it. So that's the first three. Then there was Christmas Mysteries Part 2.
Yes, that's right.
Which included why Die Hard is a Christmas movie.
Yep.
Yes.
The Warminster Thing and the Eggnog Rites. And then... what was the one after that? Oh, it was a live one in London.
Yeah, that's right. We all did a mini Christmas topic each. Did we?
Yes. Oh, yeah, I did one about Christmasland.
Yeah, a place in North America.
Yes, that's right.
Little town. That was a lot of fun. And I did the Stone of Scone heist, where on Christmas Day they stole the...
Oh, that was a great story.
...famous Stone of Scone from Westminster Abbey.
And Jess, what did you do?
Michael Bublé.
A short history.
That's right. Fantastic. Oh God, well done.
I was starting that expecting not to get through it, but
yeah.
You did very well.
We got there. So if you do want to do the marathon leading up to this episode, you can go back and listen to all of those. They're all in the usual feed. But Jess has a report this week on another Christmas topic that Matt and I are unaware of. So how the show works is we take it in turns to report on a topic. It's not always Christmas themed, but once a year it is, and it's Jess's turn. We always start the show with a question to get us onto topic.
Yes, and my question is, what Boxing Day event has been referred to as Britain's Roswell?
Oh, Boxing Day event.
Britain's Ross.
It's not the Warminster thing.
It's not.
It easily could have been, though, couldn't it? You would
surely
never remember.
I would not have known.
Is it something we would have heard of?
Probably not.
It's not. It's like the blob or the happening.
It's not the happening.
The occurrence.
It's an incident.
Oh.
Okay. The something incident?
The
felching incident?
Hey, I thought we'd never talk about that. We agreed.
We said we'd never discuss that. No, sorry. It is the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Oh, man, I don't know this one, but I love anything that's listed as an incident. We've done a few.
Forest. Oh, I'm in on a forest.
So
big time.
Whereabouts in is it?
It's in the UK.
Oh, yeah. A British forest.
Yeah.
That's what, like, Robin Hood hangs out in there.
Yeah.
Et cetera. Maid Marian.
Maid Marian. Probably so fairies, goblins, hobgoblins.
Easily.
All of them. Any involved in
They're
this?
All there. Well, I mean.
Well, it's an incident.
That's the thing. We're not sure.
Ooh. Oh, okay. Mole
so
people.
Maybe it is Spoiler. Hobgoblins. So what I did was, because we're in Europe, I thought I'll find a Christmas topic that is set in Europe. And I put three up to the Patreons to vote on. And one of them, extremely Christmassy, has been suggested easily a dozen times and would be a really wholesome, easy report to do, a nice Christmas story. Did that get voted for? Absolutely not.
Oh, no.
This one did, and there's a pretty good reason why, but it's also a story that there isn't heaps of information on, and the main source, or not the main source, but one of the main sources I was able to find was the Rendlesham Forest Incident.com.
They got the .com.
And let's just say, like, whoever's behind that website definitely has their opinions, and it's not the most balanced reporting, you know?
Okay. Without knowing what this is about, I'm intrigued.
That's so fascinating. Are we imagining the kind of website that hasn't been updated in about 15 to 20 years?
Oh, maybe not 50, easily 10.
Okay, love
that.
Yeah,
hasn't been updated for a while. And look, I've got plenty of excerpts from that website, so you'll get a feel for for the writer for sure. But
they're like having a dig at the neighbouring town or something. Oh, Sheffield's got a shit football team. Anyway, back to the incident.
Not that I'm biased. And it's like, oh, I reckon you might be a little bit. This one's been suggested only three times in The Hat by Brian Blunt, Robin and Aaron Wolf. So thank you to those
Robin
three
Hood.
For your... suggestion. So Matt asked where it was. Well, Rendlesham Forest is a large pine forest east of Ipswich in Suffolk in England. And nearby are the twin NATO air bases, RAF Bentwaters and RAF Woodbridge. And in the early 80s, both bases were being leased to the United States Air Force.
Oh, here we go, buddy. The SEPO's coming in, taking up the UK forests, eh? Oh, tell you what, eh? Hey, what about Uncle Sam has wandered in, has he? He's taken, he's cleared a bit of the forest land, has he? Yeah, or what's he got? Oh, has he got a couple of his ace pilot fighters up and about, has he? Oh, here we go. Hey, what about us? Hey, we were there in the beginning. We settled you, didn't we? And now all of a sudden you're in our hometown. Well, fair enough. We did in reverse. You've come back. Apologies. Proceed.
I love that. Wow. Jess, is this the kind of unbiased reporting that this website gives us?
Less rambling somehow.
Wow.
So this is from the Rendlesham Forest Incident.com. It was the early hours of December 26, 1980. Staff Sergeant Jim Peniston, the on-duty flight chief for the Woodbridge base, was enjoying a midnight snack when he received a call from the security centre telling him Airman First Class Cabin Sag, incredible name, was on his way to collect him. Now, a few questions there. What kind of name is Cabin Sag? Don't know, love saying it.
That's all one word, Cabin Sag.
What's he having for a midnight snack? It doesn't say. We can only assume crisps.
Well, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, what else are you going to have at midnight, you know?
I mean, you get a bit thirsty with crisps, I reckon.
Maybe a dark chocolate.
Oh, yeah. A little bit of duck chucky.
After dinner mint.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Okay. Yeah.
I mean, at midnight, somewhere after dinner.
I stand corrected.
But, yeah, I mean, his name's wild, but also his title. Cabin First Class or whatever it was.
Airman First Class.
Cabin First Class. I was thinking of where he was staying.
The first class cabin. So Penniston was then instructed to meet up with two of the base's military police, Staff Sergeant Bud Steffens and Airman First Class John Burrows. When they met, Steffens and Burrows told him they'd seen some strange lights over the forest and that there might be a problem.
Okay.
Ooh, light problem.
Thinking that the men may have seen a downed aircraft, Penniston told Burrows that they should go and investigate. Penniston was shocked when he heard Steffens insist that it couldn't have been a crash because he'd already seen the strange light actually land. A weirdly worded sentence, also names spelt differently each time.
Wow.
Strange light landing.
It's seen the strange light land.
But, I mean, if you have a torch and you point it down, is it landing on the ground?
Yeah. Is the light that's shining from these lights where near?
That's landing on your
where
face.
It's bouncing off. Is that... landing?
Yeah.
I guess it is. It's
like landing all over you, man.
If I was writing in some sort of old Yoldy poetic style, maybe you would say that. The light off yonder sun lands on the shore before me.
that's pretty good, I reckon.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. Put on your tombstone.
Yes, please. Thank
with
you.
With a torch. That just sort of hangs on a weird little tripod next to his grave. And then we have to go every night to turn on the torch.
Change the batteries.
Once a day.
A nightmare.
You are.
That's what you wanted in your will, though.
Burdensome in life and in death.
Come on. Give us a break. Just die quietly.
No, I will not. I will not go quietly into yonder.
Would you haunt us, Matt?
If I had the ability to, I'd haunt you, though, with fun and secrets from beyond.
Oh, that's nice.
Hey, Jess, it's real good here. Kill yourself.
I was like, well, all right.
I guess
he wouldn't lie to me.
A strange voice in my head said,
don't waste time. Come join.
So Penniston, Cabin Sag and Burrows jumped into a vehicle and went out to have a look. There, they saw a really bright light shining through the trees.
Has it landed?
Like, but it's like real bright.
Landing through the trees.
It's like super bright. It's like abnormally bright. Do you know what
right,
I mean?
Right, like spotlight bright.
Yeah.
Someone's left their headlights on.
Oh, yeah. High beams
high
are
beams.
On. Oh, no.
Yeah.
Come on. Well, and you give them the flick of your high beams to try and get the indicator. Hey, just a subtle reminder.
Hey, high beams are on dickhead.
Mine are on. Fuck you, I'm blinding you back. Fuck you.
Hey,
no, fuck you.
Fuck you.
No, fuck you.
Driving with Dave code. Is a lot of fun. Yeah. Just to
keep anger.
I do a lot of Morse. Get fucked, dickhead. Fuck.
Fuck you.
I was once driving with our friend Nick Kappa along a road not far from here, and two cars in a row flashed me. And I said something to Nick like, oh, just because they're driving like bloody cowards, taking their time around down this narrow road, and they're flashing me because I'm sort of just getting it done. And then not long after, realised my lights went on.
They were just...
Cabba so sheepishly like, they were trying to save ours and their lives.
Yeah. They just let me know my lights weren't on.
Jesus.
I don't know why, but when I see cars at night without their lights on, that angers me quickly. You know, high beams and stuff, you can forget they're on, okay, whatever, we pass each other. But lights, I'm like, turn your fucking lights on, dickhead. Come on. I don't know why. So it was probably me flashing you that time.
Yeah.
Yeah, no, fair enough. That was a few years ago. I've learnt from those mistakes. I no longer hang out with Nick Kappa, for one.
Don't drive at night. Okay, so they've jumped into the car. They're out to have a look. There's a bright light. And as they got further into the thick forest, it became too hard to drive, so they got out of the vehicle and continued on foot. As they got closer to the light, they started to have problems with their radios.
Oh, right. So not only light, but sound.
Oh, no. Suddenly Smooth FM starts playing. They're like, stop that.
Buble's on
not
doing
again.
Promos.
Yeah. Shut up.
I just haven't met you yet.
What a voice of an angel, though.
Ugh. Tell you what, I'd be worried if I just died. The voice of an angel coming at me. Lights go
bright
towards
light.
A light.
No, bright light and Buble singing to you.
Oh, my God. Am I in heaven?
Is it time? When Penniston got to a distance of 50 metres, he could make out a metallic-type object, some kind of craft, but unlike any he'd ever seen in his 7 years in the Air Force. As he moved closer, he discovered that the air seemed to be charged with static electricity, causing his hair to stand on end. As he closed to within 20 metres of the object, he noticed that the animals had scattered and the area was now completely quiet. As he got closer, he could see the object in more detail. He described seeing a shiny black triangular-shaped craft, 3 metres in width and 2 high. The surface was smooth, almost glass-like. He later said it was about the size of a tank. White light was emitting from both the top and bottom of the craft, and red and blue lights flashed alternatively on either side.
Whoa.
Yeah, this just sounds like one of those fancy Tom Cruise planes from Top Gun.
Yeah. A plane.
Oh, like one of the stealth ones.
One of those triangle ones.
Yeah.
Red and blue lights. That's just bloody God Bless America sort of stuff. I reckon this is...
A plane.
Plane.
Yeah. And also, he's 7 years in the Air Force.
And he can't
usually when you quote something like that, it's like, I haven't seen anything like this in my 34 years here. Yeah. 7 years.
Seven years. Right.
It was just a new plane.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Straight off the bloody line. Yeah.
You've only seen the old ones. What they saw, I've already described it. Peniston took out a camera and began photographing the object. He shot the entire roll of film and then moved closer so he could circle around the back of it.
Okay, shot the entire roll of film, then got close enough to take a good photo.
Yeah, good excuse.
Damn. Yeah. Oh, I wish I had
more film with me.
All of it was he shot 30 selfies facing away from the craft. So it's just his reaction.
Yeah.
30 times.
But you saw his face, you're like, wow, he means that.
He saw something.
Yeah, he definitely saw something.
You can't fake that kind of emotion.
No,
that's not acting.
No, I can see it in his eyes. He was amazed to see no visible means of propulsion, nor was there any obvious signs of conventional manufacture. No seams or rivets. By now, and in complete awe of what this object might be, he courageously placed his hand on its surface.
Oh, no, that's not a good idea.
Which he said felt warm despite the freezing night of an English winter. Sliding his hand over the smooth exterior, he discovered a series of raised symbols etched onto its left-hand side. The symbols, which he later drew, were about 3 inches high and covered an area of about 3 feet in diameter. When Sergeant Peniston put his hand on the etched symbols, which felt like sandpaper compared to the rest of the smooth, moulded surface, everything became a brilliant, bright white. He could neither see nor hear. He was alone in the brilliant, bright white light.
Ooh. Oh, no. So, and then it pans out and I've accidentally taken my shirt off.
That's very glaring. Oh,
sorry, guys.
Put it away, son.
In what context do you accidentally take your shirt off? Oh, you know what it is? You're taking your jumper off and the T-shirt goes with it.
Exactly. And that light landed on my torso. Yeah. And he went, oh, my God, it's a brilliant, bright light.
I'm alone in this brilliant, bright light. And you're like, oh, sorry.
Sorry.
Happened again.
Down. Goes away.
I don't know why that always gets stuck there. So annoying. This occurred for an undetermined amount of time. Then his sight returned. He was standing next to the craft facing the pictorial glyphs. The craft started to turn a vivid, bright white colour. So bright, in fact, Sergeant Peniston thought it was going to explode. He took a defensive position nearby as the craft was engulfed in the light. The craft then lifted off approximately 4 feet from the ground, manoeuvred between the trees, ascended to treetop level, and then disappeared in the blink of an eye.
I really hope his defensive position was thinking it was going to explode, yeah, like fist ready, or had his gun pulled.
Ready.
Or it probably would, if it was me, it would just be...
Yeah, ball. Absolutely ball on the floor.
Mine would just be covering my eyes.
Need a face.
Yeah. If I can't see it, it can't hurt me, you know.
Yeah. La, 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 la.
He stated that he could see no occupants, but sensed there was some sort of life present inside.
Okay. Well, it sounds like he's got some talents.
He was absolutely certain it was under intelligent control.
Certain.
As opposed to...
Because he sensed it.
Absolutely certain.
Yeah, it wasn't some goons driving it.
Some idiot. Some dumb alien.
Yeah. That was like a smart alien, eh?
For sure.
He could sense it. This sounds great. I'm into it.
Well, and you know, when their radios started to not work, the website says electronic interference is commonly reported in the vicinity of UFOs.
Right.
So it's noteworthy.
Well, Mulder, there's probably a scientific explanation.
No, Scully. Use your mind. All right.
I guess he's probably right because he always is.
Fucking right. God
damn
it. He's
bloody right.
So this is in the...
And that alien did impregnate me that time.
Yeah. Mm,
but
still. I don't know. This is in the wee hours of the morning, right? This was about 3 a.m. when all of this happened. Shortly after 4 a.m., local police arrived at the scene. Now, police had a look around but reported that the only lights they could see were lights from the Orford Ness Lighthouse several miles away on the coast. You can see the light in the distance. Orford Ness Lighthouse, which skeptics identify as a flashing light seen off the coast, is along the same line of sight, about 5 miles or 8 kilometres further east of the forest edge. And at that time, it was one of the brightest lighthouses in the UK. And I hope they had a plaque on the wall saying
one
that.
One of the brightest.
Yeah, one of the number two.
Quite a two brightest. Or three.
We're
we
up there.
We haven't bothered checking in a while.
Top five, easy.
Right, so it's a pretty. That's an explanation for a pretty bright light, though.
Yeah, but is it landing? I mean, you see a lighthouse, you know it's a lighthouse, right?
Well, but I do.
And then you don't touch a triangle. Somehow you touch a smooth triangle thing with some raised lettering and go.
It's a lighthouse over there.
It's a lighthouse.
But there is a lighthouse over there.
This lighthouse is very good.
It explains the light, maybe.
Yeah.
But the rest of it, I think, almost doesn't explain it at all.
No.
Just remind me, what's this got to do with Christmas?
It happened on Boxing Day.
Gotcha.
But like so early in Boxing Day, it's like 3 hours into Boxing
Day. Right. So
it's basically Christmas Day.
Technically, couldn't be any further from Christmas.
Yes.
It's the furthest point away from Christmas.
From the next Christmas.
From the next Christmas.
That's right.
And it's what our dear Patreons wanted to hear. That's and okay. I will never disappoint them.
You shouldn't either.
Never will.
You made an oath with blood.
So many times I've wanted to. Yeah. I've wanted to disappoint the Patreons. And then there I go, not disappointing them again.
Good on you.
Can't help yourself.
Oh, God. It's hard being me. So the serviceman decided, hey, we can't see anything in the dark. Let's wait until it's daytime. So after daybreak, they went back to where they were a few hours earlier, and now in the light they could see properly. They found three small impressions on the ground in a triangular pattern, as well as burn marks and broken branches on nearby trees.
What impressions did they find? Michael Caine?
Yep.
Hello, I'm Michael Caine.
Yep.
Who else they find?
Sean Connery.
Sean Connery. Oh, hello, I'm Sean Connery.
And Christopher Walken.
Oh, hello, I'm Christopher Walken.
God, you are good.
Wow.
That were the three they found.
Yeah, yeah.
That, and they were all that good.
Yeah.
Like,
in the,
sort of
just in
spot
like
on.
The English forest.
So good that they're almost 80s. Like, there must be another species.
Yeah, right.
No human could imitate the three great
must be
like that.
A type of animal we're not aware of.
Wow.
A type of bird.
Wristwatch.
Wow, Sean Connery.
Yeah.
Amazing.
I'm James Bond. I got a wristwatch. That's one
if,
of them?
If Chris Walken played James Bond, it would sound a little something like this.
I'm Bond. I'm James Bond.
Why does he flap his arms so much?
That's all part of it.
You can't do it without that.
You can't do it without
it. Yeah, no, fair enough.
Wow, so I can't do it without
it. Who am I? Who am I to judge his acting?
Nobody.
No.
You're no one.
I'm no one.
That was amazing.
I take people on a journey.
Yeah.
I hung around with Ben Russell a bit earlier tonight and it just rubbed off on me.
Wow.
He's a master impressionist, but now I'm starting to teach him a thing or two.
Yeah, yeah. That's right.
Can he make 1,000 noises? Didn't think so.
Yeah.
They found some burn marks, broken branches, these little impressions. So they called the police out again, and the police reckon it's made by an animal.
Okay.
Police are like, eh.
Like a triangle animal.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Knowing that he would need some physical evidence of this encounter, Peniston returned to the landing site the following day to make plaster casts of the indentations. He also apparently experienced a strange condition. He was seeing ones and zeros in his mind's eye.
Whoa, he went digital. That's way before TV did it.
Before Matrix and everything.
Yeah.
Mm.
That's cool.
Troubled by the revolving flashing images of ones and zeros he received from touching the glyphs, he felt compelled to write them down in a notebook. And after he'd written them down, the images in his mind would disappear.
Ah. Okay, that makes sense.
It's like when you have a song stuck in your head, but if you hear it again, somehow you don't have it there.
You write it down on a notepad.
Yeah, that's right. You get it down.
Yeah. You got to write the whole song down.
Yeah, yeah.
It takes ages.
I'm blue, dubba dee, dubba da,
dubba dee, dubba da. And if you stuff it up, you have to start again.
Yeah.
And then you also have to write down the do 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 do. You got to write the instrument and put on as it takes forever. He was so shaken by his encounter with the UFO that he, along with Burroughs, were granted a 6-day leave.
Oh, that should get you over an alien encounter. Yeah. 6 days.
Take almost a week off.
Yeah, but you'll be here on Sunday, right?
Yeah, obviously.
You'll be over it by then.
Yeah.
The day of the Lord.
I mean, those ones and zeros that you said you had in your mind.
You've written them down.
You sound like you've absolutely lost it. You'll be goodbye. Yeah. 6 days' time.
You'll be fine for military service in six yeah. days, right?
That's enough time for you to analyse those plaster casts that you've kept in your bedroom that you haven't left in 4 days. Yeah.
Yeah, you'll be right.
You'll be right.
So later he stated, after that craft took off, I was in no doubt. I realised that it was 100% certain that we were part of a larger community beyond the confines of this planet.
Right. When he saw the alien leave. Huh.
Yeah. Not when he saw the craft, not when he touched it, but when he saw it leave.
Yeah.
He's like, okay, so this isn't from here per se.
I hate to watch that alien go, but I love to watch him leave.
Whatever. Because it makes me realise I'm part of a wider community.
Yeah. And it's got a real sweet butt.
That alien tush.
Oh, that alien got back.
That alien got a peach butt.
Oh, yeah.
But it wasn't over yet.
Oh.
On December 28th, Deputy Base Commander Lieutenant Colonel Charles Holt visited the site with a team of servicemen. They took readings of the radiation in the triangle shapes in the ground and in the surrounding areas. Their readings found several bursts of high radiation at the site, as well as in other points around half a mile away. It gave like a figure, and I could not figure out if that was good or bad.
Right.
The website said it was double, but I don't know how trustworthy that website is. Just high, just little spikes.
So
of
there was
radiation.
Radiation.
Just a little bit.
Yeah.
Or maybe a lot. I don't know.
But the triangles were left behind as well. So it was a big triangle plane or object, flying object, unidentified, and left little triangles.
Yeah.
What's going on there?
So sort of, I guess, where it would, so top and then maybe the two at the back, sort of like where it would.
And then the little feet were all triangles.
I guess so.
Wow. So they figured out that triangles are the best shape.
Yeah. Maybe they haven't discovered circles yet.
Because I always thought it was circles. Yeah. My favourite shape.
They don't have wheels.
Oh.
Oh, poor them.
Why wheel when you can hover?
Okay. Okay.
But maybe that's why they don't have any rivets or anything. They haven't got circles yet. That's why they didn't have any obvious joins. So they probably haven't even figured out nails or anything.
Right, they just carved out a solid rock.
That's so sad.
I think they might be idiots.
Oh, that is the saddest thing
ever. Are they in the Stone Age?
They probably skipped it. Sounds like they've gone straight to Titanium Age.
Right.
Lame.
Lame Age.
Arguably one of the lamer ages,
yeah.
I would have said.
Lamest age.
Lame Age. So, yeah, there's like little bursts of radiation. And during this visit slash investigation, a flashing light was seen across the field to the east, almost in line with a farmhouse, as the witnesses had seen on the first night.
Oh, my God. I just realized this is the Christmas story. This is the story of the first Christmas. And then the three kings from Orientar, or whatever the song says, saw the light and they went over and they found the little...
In the stable slash farmhouse.
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Thanks for spoiling the rest of the story, Matt.
They found that little baby triangle.
It was a little alien baby. It seemed that it wasn't the lighthouse, as it could be seen further to the east in the same line of sight. So they can see the lighthouse, but there's a flashing light closer than that, they reckon. According to Holt's reports, three star-like lights were seen in the sky, two to the north and one to the south.
The North Star. One of the north. That's the one. Is it the North Star?
I think so.
Yeah. You don't know. I'm talking to you like you would know anything.
But you don't know anything.
You don't know anything.
No.
The one thing Jess and I have got over you is Christian studies.
Yeah. Forced upon us.
That's right.
Through schooling. Yeah, so three star-like lights seen in the sky, two to the north and one to the south, about 10 degrees above the horizon. Holt said that the brightest of these hovered for 2 to 3 hours and seemed to beam down a stream of light from time to time. Astronomers have explained these star-like lights as bright stars.
God,
they've got an answer for everything, those guys.
Those astronomers.
What are these things in the sky? They look like stars.
They're stars, fuckhead.
There's got to be something more. Okay, well, that's the obvious answer.
I like the
answer.
Idea of a really no-bullshit astronomer. It's a star, you
fucking idiot. That's a star, dickhead.
Yeah. What's that star up there? It's a star. Are you serious?
I was at a dinner party, okay? I've come
out
for this.
You called me out here. It's my daughter's birthday. Yeah, it's a star.
It's a star.
You said it was a star emergency.
I hate being the only on-call astronomer in town. Holt was recording the events on a micro cassette tape, and he's heard on the tape saying, "There's no doubt about it. There's some type of strange flashing red light ahead."
Oh, that's a plane.
Then his voice gets extremely excited as he says, "It's coming this way. It's definitely coming this way. Pieces of it are shooting off. There's no doubt about it. This is weird." No doubt about that part.
Yeah.
Right.
This is weird.
Yeah.
Holt described the object as circular, like a large eye winking at him.
So they do have circles.
Okay.
Oh, he has circles.
Yeah. He can describe something as a circle. He's aware of what a circle is.
And he thinks that they're winking at him.
Yeah, the circle is winking at him.
Oh, you think the circle's coming on me?
Going on to him?
I think the circle's coming on to me. He takes his shirt off. Whoa. The circle's like, hey.
Hey.
Take it slow.
Inappropriate.
Buddy.
Holt wrote a memo to the Ministry of Defence detailing his experience as well as the experience of Peniston two nights earlier. It was known as the Holt Memo. Again, very creative.
That's good.
It was dated a couple of weeks after the event occurred, which sceptics argue would account for errors in some of the details in the report. The Holt Memo was made publicly available in the United States under the US Freedom of Information Act in 1983. And the following year, in 1984, the Holt Tape was released to UFO researchers for further investigation. But a consultant for the National Archives, a journalist named David Clark, has investigated the background of the Holt memo and failed to find any other reports made about the incident other than Holt's memo. So no other government sort of agencies really made any reports.
Well, yeah, not that they can find.
Exactly.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, classic story. What, they can't bury things? This is the US government we're talking about.
The smoking man, etc.
Yeah.
That's from the X-Files.
Oh.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. I get references to stuff, so. Anyway, I've just got a report to do, Dave, so if you could stop piping in with stuff that we all definitely get.
The Syndicate.
Shut the fuck up. I don't know what that is. But just because the authorities didn't take it too seriously, unless you ask the Rendlesham Forest Incident.com, in which case lots of government and military figures were involved in a cover-up.
Yeah.
Love this.
Obviously, there's a cover-up here, Jess. It's actually pretty offensive that you're trying to talk about it like there wasn't one. It's embarrassing, if anything. This is meant to be a fact-based comedy podcast.
Come on.
Well, that doesn't mean that others haven't continued to do their own research. This is a little thing from Wikipedia here. In 1997, Scottish researcher James Easton obtained the original witness statements made by those involved in the first night sightings. One of the witnesses, Ed Cabinsag, said in his statement, "We figured the lights were coming from past the forest since nothing was visible when we passed through the woody forest. We would see a glowing near the beacon light, but as we got closer, we found it to be a lit-up farmhouse. We got to a vantage point where we could determine that what we were chasing was only a beacon light off in the distance." So he didn't see or touch any kind of craft.
Oh, Cabinsag just saw a light on a farmhouse.
John Burroughs as well.
And he reckons, it, like from what he said, it doesn't it think it was anything. It was just a farmhouse.
John Burroughs as well also stated, "We could see a beacon going around, so we went towards it. We followed it for about 2 miles before we could see it was coming from a lighthouse."
You know what's happened to those two fellas? They got gotten to.
Yeah, someone got to them for sure.
They were gotten to.
Mm-hmm.
Who? So wait, I thought it was Cabin Sag that had the triangle experience.
No, that was Penistone.
Ah, yes.
Cabin Sag and Burrows were there.
When
with
do we get to the point where he invents penicillin?
Come on, that's Marie Curie.
Sorry, Marie Curie.
Come on, mate.
Sorry, I thought they must have been related somehow.
Burrows reported a noise like a woman was screaming, and also that you could hear the farm animals making a lot of noises. Holt heard the same noise as two nights later. Such noise could have been made by muntjac deer in the forest, which are known for their loud, shrill bark when alarmed.
Muntjac deer. Shrill bark.
Muntjac.
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 Yeah.
Whoa.
Muntjac deer.
Probably saying that wrong.
Muntjac. That sounds. That's like the Aussiest deer of all.
Muntjac.
The muntjac.
Muntjac.
Love it.
Yeah. So even the other two people that were with Penistone were like, it was just the lighthouse.
Yeah, that's if you believe they haven't been gotten to.
I'm sure. So surprised you've both gone this angle. I'm loving it.
They've obviously been gotten to.
Mm. Yeah.
Yeah, Uncle Sam got in their ear.
Even though this was their original statements.
Well, the police...
Yeah, well, you don't think he got to them before, in between?
Right. They got real quick.
Real quick. Real quick. Too quick. Who
too
can
quick.
Get to them that quick? Only one person, Uncle Sam.
Yeah.
Where's Uncle Sam live?
Where's Uncle Sam live?
Yeah.
That farmhouse?
No, he lives in the North Pole.
Oh, right.
Oh, I thought he lived in Mount Rushmore.
No.
Inside Lincoln's head.
That's his holiday house.
Oh, of course. My bad. Well, you remember that the police weren't super interested in it either. The police reports were released in 2005 under the UK's Freedom of Information Act. It includes a letter dated the 28th of July, 1999, written by Inspector Mike Topless, who notes that one of the... Topless?
Yeah, that's funny. Come on, that's a funny name, Topless.
Mike Topless.
That was the white line.
Yeah, Mike Topless.
Mike Topless was there.
I had only read it before. I didn't say it out loud. That's great. He notes that one of the police constables who attended the scene on the first night returned to the site in daylight in case he'd missed anything. There was nothing to be seen and he remains unconvinced that the occurrence was genuine, wrote Topless. The immediate area was swept with powerful light beams from a landing beacon at RAF Bentwaters and the Orfordness Lighthouse. I know from personal experience that at night, in certain weather and cloud conditions, these beams were very pronounced and certainly caused strange visual effects. So basically the forest is between two RAF bases. So there's lights and stuff coming from them and there's the lighthouse not far away. And he's like, it's just lights from the other base.
Yeah, they just set up bases there because nothing wild and weird was going on in between. Yeah, just a coincidence. You are more gullible than you even look.
How gullible do I look? Well, evidence of a substantial file on the subject led to claims of a cover-up. Some interpreted this as part of a larger pattern of information suppression concerning the true nature of unidentified flying objects, both by the United States and British governments. However, when the file was released in 2001, it turned out to consist mostly of internal correspondence and responses to inquiries from the public. The lack of any in-depth investigation in the publicly released documents is consistent with their early statement that they've never taken the case very seriously. That's from the Ministry of Defence.
Oh, and yeah, we expect that they released the full documents, not the secret documents.
They just released the weird questions from the public.
Yeah.
Can I say the alien? Nah, can I?
Nah, go on.
Oh, go on.
Nah, go on.
That's
I love aliens.
I actually married that alien. I need you to get it to call me back.
Chad!
It was here very briefly and we wed and I believe it's got my child inside its tummy. So please give me a call back. I know he's hanging out with you. Don't dog me on this. Come on.
At least give it this letter.
Please.
Please.
Many of us have those stubborn pounds that seem impossible to lose, no matter how good we eat or how hard we work out. My solution is PlushCare. PlushCare is a leading telehealth provider with doctors who are there for you day and night to partner with you in your weight loss journey. They can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Plus, they accept most insurance plans. To get started, visit plushcare.com/weightloss. That's plushcare.com/weightloss.
Mom deserves better than a drugstore card. This Mother's Day, surprise her with a truly special personalized card from Moonpig. Add your favorite photos, a heartfelt message, and we'll even mail it for you the same day, all for just $5. From mom to grandma, we have something to celebrate every mom in your life. Every mom deserves a Moonpig card. Get 50% off your first card at Moonpig.com.
Moonpig.com.
In June 2010, retired Colonel Charles Holt signed a notarized affidavit in which he summarized what had happened and then stated he believed the event to be extraterrestrial and that it had been covered up by both the UK and US. Contradictions between this affidavit and the facts as recorded at the time in Holt's memo and tape recording have been criticized widely. So there's differences. But, I mean, it's like 20 years later. 30 years later?
I mean, you explain that easily, can't you?
That it was 30 years ago?
No. They got to him.
Any piece of evidence that goes against it, they got to him.
They got to him.
But according to the Rendlesham Forest Incident.com.
Thank you. Finally, someone is brave enough to tell the truth.
Someone who hasn't been gotten to.
No. Yeah.
The Ministry of Defence responded with the usual denials and claimed that the events posed no defence significance. Lord Hill Norton, a man who in the 70s was at the top of the British defence establishment, had for years been vocal in attacking the Ministry of Defence position. He had stated that there are only two possibilities regarding Holt's claims of an encounter. Either Holt and all the other witnesses were hallucinating, or they actually saw what they claimed to have seen. Well, I mean, two of them said they saw
it really
a
feels
lighthouse.
Like it's just Holt, doesn't it?
In either case, since all men were stationed on a base containing nuclear-armed aircraft, the situation has to be of extreme defence significance. Norton has also later stated publicly that he believes the evidence for the Rendlesham case points conclusively to an extraterrestrial intrusion.
Mm.
It's a fun string of words
right.
to say.
So out of everywhere that an extraterrestrial could land, they chose between two air bases.
Yeah.
Okay.
That's right.
Yeah, no, see, you're thinking about this all wrong. They landed there because they were canoodling with the American airmen.
Right.
And women.
If I was going to choose, I would canoodle with the American seamen.
Oh, well. That's where you differ from the aliens.
Yes?
That's very good.
This is, I continue from the Rendlesham Forest Incident.com. Despite the unearthing of the Holt memo and the US... Despite the unearthing of the Holt memo, the US military did everything it could to ensure the story remained secret. When Peniston tried to recover the photographs he took of the craft from the base photo lab, he was told he couldn't because the film was supposedly fogged and therefore useless.
Oh.
Peniston doubts this and believes his pictures were inevitably confiscated.
I'm a great photographer, so bullshit.
Yeah. You know what happened to those photos? Someone got to him. Yeah,
oh, no, someone got to him. Cover them in fog.
Why wouldn't you just keep them? So, like, it does seem weird they'd be like, we chucked them out because they suck so much.
Yeah.
Surely he'd get a look at them first.
Well, he also...
I've still got some things of photos where it's, like, some of them were just
absolute
thumbs
dog
over
shit.
The lens
yeah.
and stuff.
But you kept it. Your collection of thumbs.
Got a whole big collection
Yeah, he took
thumbs.
Them on purpose. He wasn't a good photographer. I don't know why so many people hired him for weddings. Also, one of the three plaster casts he made of the landing site disappeared while being shipped by the military. He managed to keep the other two. Long after the event, when he'd moved back to America, he discovered a bug in his house. I don't know, like a mozzie?
Louis the fly.
Oh, no. They got to Louis.
Oh, no.
And then put him in the house.
Hey, guys, let's have a great party. How does he keep surviving? Every year he's...
Every time.
Yeah. They kill him, supposedly. Their own ads... Show them killing this Louis the Fly.
This is a Mortine bug spray ad, yes.
But then the next year, the next campaign, he's there again with a new bunch of friends.
Yeah, being like, couldn't keep me down.
I mean, flies don't live that long. Yeah.
They're also just it's proving like their product Mortine. Doesn't work.
Yeah, the product...
Yes, it feels like the Mortines, if anything, it's prolonging Louis's life.
Keeping him
for
alive.
For decades.
Yeah,
Louis the Fly.
And now he's in this bloke's house.
Louis the Immortal, hey, with thanks to Mortine.
If you want to protect flies,
yeah.
Get more team. Yeah, so he's found a bug in his house, and he also said he received threatening phone calls and discovered that his mail was frequently tampered with.
Oh, okay. What are people putting in his mail? Fart bomb.
Oh, no. Whoopee cushion.
Yeah.
It's just embarrassing.
All his bank bills have been replaced with a whoopee cushion.
He's like, funny. I just want to check my accounts.
Yeah.
That's not how... Whoopee, you got to get him under his butt, not in his letterbox.
Nah.
They're doing it all wrong, these aliens.
Yeah, they don't know what they're doing.
Well, I guess that's more proof they're aliens. Humans know you put them on the chair.
Yeah, that's right. We'd know if it was really the government getting to him, it would be on the chair.
Yeah, yeah, they know.
He'd never sit on a chair without it making noise again.
I think we're in, the Reagan era? Yeah, Reagan knew about a bloody whoopee cushion.
Yeah, he knew what he was doing.
So there are several theories, right? Obviously, you guys have got your own strong
whoopee
theories.
Cushions are involved in mine.
Several claims of it being a hoax. BBC reported that a former US security policeman, Kevin Conde, claimed responsibility for creating strange lights in the forest by driving around in a police vehicle whose lights he'd modified. However, there is no evidence that this prank took place.
That is the worst prank I've ever heard.
Yeah. I put some funny lights on my car.
Probably no one's around to see it. This is going to be real good.
Yeah.
I've taken time to modify the lights on a police car.
It's pretty sick.
I'm going to shine them around in a forest that no one's really
and
in.
I've actually got a personalized horn that goes... It's very funny.
People are like, oh, that's the alien love song. It's coming back for me.
One guy's happy.
Woohoo!
My wife's coming home.
Other explanations for the incident have included a downed Soviet spy satellite, but no evidence has been produced to support this.
Of course it wouldn't be.
The initial sighting at 3 a.m. on the 26th of December, when the airman saw something apparently descending into the forest, coincided with the appearance of a bright fireball over southern England, and such fireballs are a common source of UFO reports. So it could have just been a fireball in the sky.
Oh, right.
Wait, what does
just
that
a
mean?
Fireball.
I don't know.
I mean, just
a fireball.
It's very easy to
like
explain that. It's a fireball.
It
That's all
like
it is.
So
no
common.
More questions.
Just a big fireball
just
in the
fireball.
Sky.
Just a fireball. What? You'd think, oh, no, if you saw a fireball in the sky.
Yeah.
Grow up,
yeah,
man.
Go back to bed.
You saw a big alien fireball in the sky from an alien.
Grow
and you're
up,
thinking, oh,
Matt.
Is this some sort of an alien fireball? No, it's an alien fireball.
Are they confusing that for the sun?
Yeah, I don't know. But the sun shouldn't be plummeting.
I see a fireball every day in the sky.
Technically, yeah. The sun is a fireball in the sky.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Aliens for you.
But, I mean, if you're seeing the sun at night, is it really not?
That's a great question.
Think about that.
Wow. I'll think about that for years.
Yeah, you will. You will. Hey, the sun never goes down. It's just an illusion caused by the world spinning around.
Wow. Flaming lips.
I came up with that.
Beautiful stuff.
I came up with that.
Wow. Really good.
Wayne Coyne stole that from me. Yeah. Give it back,
now,
Wayne.
Now that's a conspiracy.
You dog. Coin, you dog. That's mine.
All their lyrics were written by you.
Honestly, Wayne Coyne's got a bit alien about him.
Yeah. What's that, Yashimi?
Aren't we all?
Ah, it's true. That's a good point.
You know, in so many ways, aren't we all a bit of an outsider?
Aren't we all Wayne Coyne?
So another theory is that the timing on Holt's tape recording during his sighting on the 28th of December indicates that the light he saw, which lay in the same direction as the light seen two nights earlier, flashed every 5 seconds, which was the flash rate of the lighthouse.
Oh, so the aliens have somehow gotten synced.
Wow, they've synced up.
Do you think maybe they learnt light from the lighthouse?
Yeah. Maybe, yeah. They're
pretty
clever.
Do you think the lighthouse was in on it?
Oh, my God. An inside job? No,
the
lighthouses
sea
would
captain,
never let us down.
Salty old sea
oh,
dog?
No.
Could have
I mean,
in on it?
He's been out there alone for so many years. His only friend was an alien.
Hey, you got lonely. And oh,
he was
do
only
you think that alien baby yes. was the salty sea captain?
That's half salty sea captain.
Oh,
salty
you know
sea
why
captain
he's
semen.
Yeah, that's why he's salty. He's fucking full of... He's got a lot of salt shakers.
Salt shakers,
he loves salt. He loves fish and chips.
Yep. In December 2018, that journalist I mentioned before, David Clark, reported a claim that the incident was a setup by the SAS as a revenge plot on the US Air Force. According to this story, in August of 1980, the SAS parachuted into RAF Woodbridge to test the security at the nuclear site. The USAF had recently upgraded their radar and detected the black parachutes of the SAS men as they descended into base. The SAS troops were interrogated and beaten up, with the ultimate insult that they were called unidentified aliens. To enact their revenge, the SAS gave the USAF their own version of an alien event. And so it says, as December approached, lights and coloured flares were rigged in the woods. Black helium balloons were also coupled to remote-controlled kites to carry suspended materials into the sky, activated by radio controls. So it could have just been a revenge prank from the SAS.
That makes some sense, apart from the whole spaceship he touched.
Yeah.
But what about, I mean, that theory is that they parachuted in and got caught. So in revenge, they went back in, didn't get caught, but put lights in. How does that happen?
Wait, wasn't the other way around?
So they parachuted into the actual base.
Which, to be clear, that's
in their country.
That's so dangerous, though, isn't it?
I guess so.
You could easily be killed doing that.
But is the point that they were British soldiers on British land parachuting into a US base?
Yeah, to test their security.
Yeah,
yeah, but like, a bit strange.
They might just be like, what the hell is that? Oh, there's a nuclear base. We shoot to kill here.
Yeah, and that would be fair.
But then they got caught, they got beat up, and then in revenge they somehow rigged lights in the woods.
Yeah, because the Americans called them aliens, so they're like, oh, we'll show you aliens, and then they...
I like this. This feels the second most likely after real aliens.
So real aliens first, second most likely is SAS.
Third, mole people.
And this is why it's all been covered up, right? They're like, it's embarrassing. One of our guys actually fell for it, but we're actually normally really smart. Because we're actually American seamen in the air, of the air.
Wow.
Seamen of the air. Mm. Well, I mean, that's basically the end of the report because, I mean, we still don't fully know, of course.
Is this a mystery?
Is this Christmas Time Mysteries Part 3?
Yeah.
Is this a Krish mystery?
It's a Krish mystery.
Whoa.
But I suppose you make a good point there. I mean, to me, I'm sort of like, oh, that's bullshit. But then what happened to Peniston?
He saw something. He touched something.
He touched something and then he had like binary code in his head.
Yeah.
Yeah.
He had some sort of episode.
Because it feels like there's a possibility that it's embarrassing to have these things and others were like, I would prefer to just say I didn't see anything. It was a lighthouse. Right, so they cover it up. Or Uncle Sam gets in their ear and says, you better not say anything about those UFOs because they're my friends and I want them to stay under wraps because they're just here on holidays, okay? Just a private little holiday. We'll have a little catch-up and they're going to go away again and they won't be back for a while. But if you blow their cover, they can't come visit anymore. I'm due to go to their place next Christmas. Yeah. Oh, and it was at Christmas time.
We go, one, you know, we share. So yeah.
I think it was real aliens covered up by Uncle Sam because they were visiting him.
That sounds right to me too, though, Jess. But you did the research. What do you think?
Well, I was really expecting you two to jump on board the piss taking, but
piss taking.
I think you've convinced.
That's something so serious.
I think you've convinced me.
I mean, we would never do that. There's two things.
That's pretty offensive.
There's two things we don't joke about on the show. One, Helen Keller. Two, aliens.
Yeah.
That's it. Okay?
Okay, that's two.
She's a hard person to joke about.
Yeah, that's right.
As are aliens.
Very impressive.
That episode was barely comedy.
Very interesting.
Yeah, so interesting.
But yeah, I mean, I'm open to other people's theories, their feedback. It's obviously.
Should they get onto you on Instagram or?
That's right.
What's a better way to get onto you? Instagram's normally the one you like for people to contact you.
It is normally, yes. It is normally.
But I guess it's more of a picture thing, so it probably wouldn't work for this.
Yeah, it wouldn't work for this. And there's absolutely nothing wrong with my Instagram, so.
So they look up at Jess Perkins.
Yeah,
it's
and
fine.
It'll be there. I got hacked. I got hacked and the account is gone. But it might come back, so who knows?
If not, we rebuild.
We rebuild.
Yeah. At Jess Perkins 1.
We start fresh.
Yeah.
And maybe
I just reckon it's two. That's
I'll start fresh and I'll just have one of those very curated, like, all of my photos will be sort of on a color scheme, you know, it'll be like art.
And they all match up to make one big picture.
Yeah.
And it's a private account.
Yes.
Yeah, make it private. That's right. You got to 10,000, which was your dream, and then it all came crashing down.
Maybe I got to celebrate that dream for a solid 2 minutes.
Maybe instead of aiming for 10,000, you should aim for one.
One good follower.
Yeah, just get one good follower.
You had 10,000, but weren't any of them good?
No, that's right. But if you
had guys followed me.
Yeah.
Exactly. Evidence right here.
The Dugo One account follows me. Yeah. I followed myself on it.
Uh-huh.
You need one good follower, and that follower, Bill Gates. If you get Bill Gates on board, private, no one else.
If you get Willie G, then you've arrived.
The king of computers.
I won't do much for my engagement. I doubt it.
Oh, yeah, getting Bill Gates following you
on Instagram.
Yeah, that'll close some doors on the internet.
Yeah.
Fucking, what are you doing?
Straight to the top.
You deserve to be hacked.
Yeah.
You talk like that.
Maybe
Bill Gates hacked you to teach you a lesson.
Yeah, and look, I've learnt it and give my account back now.
You know when Willie Gates closes a door on the internet? He opens Windows 95, so.
No, it's pretty good. But yeah, that was my report on the Rendlesham Forest incident.
Fantastic.
What a story.
And so Christmassy.
Oh, it was.
Yeah, felt the cheer.
Yeah.
Felt the Christmas cheer.
They could have at least done green and red lights instead of red and blue.
Something, yeah. Jeez. Or it could have happened a couple of days earlier, you know.
Yeah. I wonder if they made the Boxing Day sales.
Probably
I wonder
not.
If Penicillin would have been thinking, got enough on my plate. Got these triangles now in my pocket, made out of plaster. They're pretty good. I don't need to buy any sort of white goods. At a beautiful low price.
Yeah, great price. Great price.
At a great price.
Although I do need a Mixmaster.
Oh, now it's time for everyone's favourite section of the show, the fact, quote, or question section, when it charges a jingle and it goes or something like this.
Fact, quote, or question.
He always remembers the ding. Now, to be involved in this, you go to patreon.com/dogonpod, or you can go to dogonpod.com. That's our website. And from there, you follow the links and you can get involved. You can support us on all these different levels. This one in particular is the Sydney Scheinberg Deluxe Memorial Edition Rest in Peace level.
Mm-hmm.
If you get involved in that, you get to give us a fact, a quote, or a question. You also get nearly all the other rewards. Of all the levels below. I mean, look it up. It'll make more sense.
That's
I can't explain it so good.
Mm.
But you get 3 bonus episodes. Some people love that.
Yeah. You get 3 bonus episodes, and that's even on a lower tier. But you get that as well in Sydney Jumping level. And you also get to vote in the topics, etc. So without further ado, here are this week's facts, quotes, and questions. Firstly, we've got Jacob Lane. And you also get to give yourself a title in this level. And his title is Simpsons.
He's really lost the passion there.
A part of me thinks that maybe, like, he hit enter too soon, but also a part of me believes that he was just like, I don't fucking know anymore. Yeah.
I think that's just classic Lane humour.
Classic Lane.
Yeah. So Jacob, Simpsons Lane, has offered us a fact this week, and his fact, we should explain for first-time listeners, Jacob is he used to be our Simpsons auditor, Simpsons reference auditor, but now he's just our Simpsons.
Just our Simpsons. Is he taking us down Simpsons Lane?
Ooh, could be. All right, so here is Jacob's fact. The fact is, sometimes Matt's beautiful. Oh, I thought it ended there for a second.
Sometimes that's beautiful.
That's so nice.
Great.
I'll take that. Very, sometimes.
Very rare.
Yeah. But
I'd take that.
I'm locking it in.
Yeah.
Yes, can I have that?
Yeah.
Sometimes Matt's beautiful dulcet tones match the pitch of my car, making it impossible for me to hear what he says. So I just crank it up to 11. I've heard that before. I do speak in engine level.
Right, you are. It's you and the alternator.
Yeah.
Going toe to toe.
So it's quite unfortunate. I really do apologize for that. I've been trying to. That sounded more like a car, not less. I've been trying to.
Me, me, mama. That's a motorbike now. That's good. Not many people listen whilst riding motorbikes. Oh, God, watch out for that tree.
Thank you, Jacob Lane. Thank you. Thank you, Jacob Lane. Very much appreciate that feedback. And, yeah, I mean, there's got to be something. We had been getting a friend to edit some of these episodes and mix them when we were recording outside the same rooms.
Thanks, Josh.
And one of the requests I made to Josh was, if you can you make my voice audible above the sound of a car engine?
Mm.
And I don't know
and
if
Josh
that's happened
said,
or
what am I, a fucking magician?
Come on.
And we said, all right, Josh, it's a bit of attitude from you, mate.
So the first edit was just him playing my microphone through a whistle. but that was even more distracting.
We were attracting a lot of dogs to the studio. Yeah,
which is great. We need more in the canine audience.
There's heaps of them, right?
Yeah.
Heaps.
We're very popular amongst dogs.
Okay. What we want to do, we want to get the chicken audience. Yeah. There's like a billion of them.
There's so many
book
chooks.
Get all the book chooks on to go on.
Thank you very much, Jacob. This next one comes from Bron Alday, who also has a fact, but she has given herself the title of head of the team responsible for cracker removal from Dave's cheese platters.
She's on Dave's side. Job.
Good work. Exactly. We want our platters cheese only. Well, I want them cheese only. Yeah. So
I'd love to
Jess's sadness and, to be honest, aggression.
I did get a bit aggressive about that, and I don't apologise.
Fair enough.
Ideally, I would also love some sort of edible dipper. Mm. Okay, biscuit, cracker.
Edible dipper. Do you want some fondue? You can dip your cube of blue cheese into more cheese.
There's nothing to grab onto there. It would have to be a very hard Swiss, maybe. And the holes in that could sort of pick up some of that fondue.
Some sort of scoop.
Anyway, Braun has offered a fact, and her fact is almost all shells open on the right-hand side, with the exception of a few snail species. If you find a shell that opens on the left-hand side, in a normally right-hand side opening species, it is called a sinistral shell, and you have to have a rare shell that is often highly sought after by collectors. How is there a left and right-hand side of a shell?
If you turn it around, it is the other side, is what my mind was doing.
Is this like a left-handed screwdriver prank?
Yeah.
Hey, we're not first day apprentices, okay, Bron? We're not going to go get the bloody checkered paint, okay? Dave's looking it up so we don't sound silly.
Looking up checkered paint.
I don't understand,
but either way, we sound silly, I'm sure.
Okay. A sinistral shell is a shell of a gastropod, which is, quote, left-handed. The shell is coiled in an anti-clockwise direction so that when viewed from the front in an ventral view, with the spire upmost, so you have to hold the spire on top and look at it from the front, the opening or the aperture appears on the left.
Yes, that clears it up a lot. Okay,
thank you,
I mean, Dave. I've got an image, so it is making it a little bit easier for me.
So, yeah, the spire. When is the opening? Yeah, I think I get that more. I'm picturing it like upside down.
Yeah.
And now you go, oh, that's opening on the left. It's opening on the right now.
Dave's also said he has an image, so it's making it easier for him, but he's not flipping it over.
I was trying to find one that did.
Okay.
It's slightly less confusing looking.
Yeah.
At it,
yeah.
But you can still.
Shells are pretty sexy, hey?
Yeah.
They're real horny. Dave, put that away.
Yeah, please put it away.
I want to fuck that shell.
Yeah, I want to fuck that shell. I want to put it in me. I want to get in it.
I don't care if it's left or right.
I don't care.
We're
going to
be playing Russian shells later on. Who's in who? We'll never know.
I'm going to get sinistral with this shell.
Yeah. I'm going to crawl up in a shell, and I'm going to get another shell to crawl up inside of me.
Oh, wow.
And then a little crustacean pokes out, goes, hello. I don't know why.
That's hot.
I'm glad.
It's, anybody in the car just heard nothing for a bit and then, hello.
I'm so glad that little crustacean's happy anyway, because I didn't know it was in there.
Well, he's saying hello and then he realizes where he is. And he's like, oh, no.
Oh, no.
Goodbye.
Thank you so much, Bron, for that fantastic fact. We got it. Hopefully whoever's editing this episode will trim that down and make it sound like we fully got you straight away.
We just say caprendo next.
Capiche.
Yeah.
Catfish. The next one's from Jordan Nassi, who is the Dugon official lion tamer and keeper guard of the embassy. Very important role.
Thank goodness. We've got a lot of lions.
And Jordan's got a question. Here it is. What is the best relationship advice you have ever received or given? What's the best advice you've ever given? Well, it hasn't happened yet. It's about to happen now.
Okay. Best specifically relationship advice.
Yeah. I reckon there's, if it's not working, don't fight too hard for it. Does that make sense?
Yeah, give up easily.
Get, exactly. Nothing's
worth
it.
First sign of conflict, divorce. Get out of there.
Yeah, exactly.
If you're not married, get married, get divorced.
Mm.
That way they'll take you seriously.
And not annulled. You've got to wait long enough until it's right. divorce and so, then divorce.
Yeah, so they have a tip of your finances. That's what you want. Yeah.
Look, I mean, obviously, you don't want to just give up straight away all the time, but I've just seen and been in relationships that you fought for. And then in hindsight, you're like, oh, there were signs for a while into this. And I think we wasted each other's time for a bit.
But it's so hard to see them when you're in it.
Yeah, it's true. So it is tricky.
Yeah.
And, I've also fought for relationships that was worth it too, I'm sure.
Yeah. I mean, they all need a little bit of fighting, as in fighting for. I mean, I don't get a lot of relationship advice. I'm in a perfect relationship, so everyone's like, oh, you guys have got this nailed. No need for me to step in.
Mainly it's stuff like keep it up.
Yeah.
you're doing it. Keep it up. You inspire me
every day.
God.
Yeah, stuff like that.
Can you vlog about this more?
Yeah. So does that help you? Does that answer your question?
Yeah, that does, actually, because I wrote that question.
Jordan, is that you?
Good relationship advice.
Well, no, it's hard.
You should be a team.
Yes.
Yeah, absolutely.
Right. Trust yourself. Trust your gut.
Yep.
I guess it depends on how far into it you are as well. The advice would change. Also, I should say I'm not at all qualified to give advice on this. I still haven't finished my diploma in relationship advisory.
But you're going to get there.
Yeah, I'll get there.
You're doing what, one unit a year?
One unit a year.
So 12 to go or something?
12 to go.
You'll get there. Hey, just like a relationship, slow and steady wins the race.
That's right.
Mm. Unless you want to jump in, then all right.
Then do that.
I feel like my advice has all been grim. Be nice.
Be nice. I feel like whatever you do, whatever you want to do, as long as you're on the same page, you know? Some people are like, you have to wait a year to move in together or to get engaged. It's like, well, who cares? If you're both on the same page, then that's all that matters.
You met at the bar. You're both looking for a place to stay. You're both out of town. Buy a place.
Yes, it's cheaper.
It's cheaper. It is in the long run.
It will work out cheaper.
Rent money's dead money. Lethally told me that.
Exactly.
Absolutely, yes.
Oh, Jordan, I'm so sorry. But, yeah, I think you got to let her go. Or him.
Yep. It's sorry, time. Jordan. Sorry.
If reading the subtext.
Yeah. If you are vaguely turning to a podcast, maybe something's wrong.
Yeah.
That's all I'm saying.
Three people who, I mean, you know very little about their relationships. Maybe we're all in terrible ones.
It's very possible Jordan's also like, I can't wait to take this advice so I know what not to do.
Yeah, that's
these
very possible.
These fucking
too.
Losers.
Well, I'm on oprahmag.com with best advice for healthy relationships and one. According to experts, and I do not agree with this.
Okay.
Don't expect your partner to be your BFF.
Oh.
Oh, no.
All right.
But are they saying like your only friend maybe? Because I think you need other people in your lives.
Yeah, okay. But
your mum and dad.
It could be like...
Your partner should be up there,
your
I
dog.
Mean.
Yeah, like...
The postman. You know, you've got other BFFs.
I feel like you could say that about your boss. Don't expect your boss to be a BFF.
Yeah,
but
yeah.
I mean, the person you're spending the most time with, they should be pretty close.
You should like hanging out with them. Yeah. That's what I reckon. That's my hot take.
Yeah, Oprah. Okay, maybe it's not working out with you and Stilbard or whatever his name is, but...
Stilbard, yes.
Sinbad.
No. What's his name? It's like Stilton or something like that. Stilbard's the Scottish version of Stuart.
Oh, is it?
Yeah.
Stedman. And I only know that because I Googled it.
Yeah.
Okay, Dave. Bit defensive there.
I mean, mine was Sinbad.
I know fake typing when I see it.
Yeah. Final bit of advice. Choose to love your partner every day.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
Choose.
Got to get up to get down.
Yeah, make the choice. Hey, choose love. Choose love.
Mm-hmm.
Choose laughs.
Mm-hmm.
Choose living.
The big L's.
Finally, we've got Rachel Johnson, who is the Pied Piper of the pod. And it's so good to have you in. Oh, and Jess is talking on your microphone. She's just pointing at your name.
That's confusing for everyone else.
But also, I don't think we've thanked Rachel yet for magnets.
Oh, yeah. Yes.
There's a package that's been sitting downstairs at the studio for possibly months.
Yeah.
No, it
yeah.
can't be months because it was Happy Blocktoberfest.
Oh, right.
So, month and a half. Thank you so much, Rachel. Rachel made us custom magnets. Mm. So cool. We've split them up, three a piece. Each got a little triptych. If I did the sums right, it might have been two a piece. But anyway, thank you so much, Rachel. And Rachel has given us a fact as well. And Rachel's fact is, when I fact-checked my fact, it turned out that it is not so much a fact as a vague theory. Oh, well, here it is anyway. An important 19th century fossil collector and paleontologist named Mary Anning is said to be the inspiration for the tongue twister she sells. Oh, my God. Sorry, I was just having a second go at the first bit. She sells seashells by the seashore. She sells seashells by the seashore. I heard that as well recently in, I think, maybe Bill Bryson's short history on everything. Oh. I think he references it in that or some other audiobook I was listening to recently. That's a fun fact.
Two shell facts today.
Yeah.
What? I didn't even put that together. I'm just like, yeah, what is it?
I
was forgetting this isn't the Shell Hour podcast.
And a bit of relationship advice, always keep your shell up.
Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. So. Always keep your shell up so other people can fuck it.
Yeah, oh, for sure. Left hand, right hand, who cares?
Who cares?
Open it up.
It's 2020, baby.
Open up your shell.
Thank you to our fact quote or questioners. And like
thanks,
I say,
peeps.
Get involved on the Sydney Scheinberg level if you want to do that. Next, we thank a few other Patreon supporters on one of the other levels. And they're on the shout out level. And Jess normally has a little game for each of them. What are we going to do today to these good people?
I was thinking that we
fuck them with a shell. Choose which shell we fuck them with.
Yeah. Conch.
Everyone gets
lock
conch.
It in. Everyone gets a conch. Except for someone who gets
a
hermit
you
crab.
Get a conch.
Thank you. Thank you, Stedman.
Because you're Oprah.
That's right.
That makes me Gail.
Whoa.
The best friend.
Stedman, the one that organises all the gifts. He's like, at BMW, gotta buy 80 cars, gotta buy 80 cars.
Well, Oprah's gonna kill me. Yeah, I'm gonna sleep on the couch tonight if I don't buy 80 cars. I was thinking we could come up with things that they've seen and mistaken for a UFO.
Oh, that's great. Fantastic. Well, if I may kick it off, I would love to thank from Moncrief in the Australian Capital Territory. It's Nick Lucas.
Nick Lucas.
He's mistaken the demon eyes of those clowns in Parliament as being the lights from an alien craft.
Were they, was Parliament sitting at night?
Yeah, they were walking past. They're having one of those annual balls that they have.
Yes.
The winter ball.
Yep.
And, Barnaby Joyce emerged and they're like, oh, what's that? Oh, it's just former leader of the National Party. Fantastic.
Gotcha.
They were all in there together.
Yeah.
And we all thought that they hated each other in different parties, but they're all wearing the same robes and sacrificing the same goat.
Exactly. Anyway.
So, I don't know.
Weird Friday night for us, I guess.
Yeah. They all had lizard heads.
Oh, well.
Anyway.
Anyway, how are you?
thank you so much, Nick, and thank you so much for keeping your eyes up on those clowns up in the big top on Capitol Hill. next, I'd love to thank from Woodbridge in VA, maybe Virginia.
Virginia.
Yeah.
Robin A. Bookite. Robin A. Butchite. Robin A. Buckhite.
But I hardly knew you.
And Robin saw Oprah's helicopter.
Oh.
Oh, wow. Was Stedman driving it?
Of course. Stedman does everything.
Yeah. And this makes sense because Oprah is rich enough to buy alien tech.
Exactly.
Absolutely.
So you were right to think it was alien tech. It was, but it's legit. It was bought legit. She paid full tax and everything.
But it's just Oprah getting from A to B.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
She's a busy woman.
She is. thanks for keeping your eyes out there, Robin.
Sorry if you got a bit spooked, but it's just
worry.
Oprah.
Don't
as I said,
her.
A to B. Don't look into it. It was definitely Oprah.
Finally, I would love to thank from Bundoora in Victoria. I love when we come back to Melbourne places.
Oh, yeah.
Because I can pronounce them.
Yeah, it's good, isn't it?
From Bundoora in Victoria, I'd love to thank Christian Avery.
Christian
Avery.
Christian
Every. I mean, that word is every, isn't it?
Every.
I try to make it into a name.
Avery.
So I said Avery, and maybe that's what it is, but maybe it's Christian Every. That's great. That's I love that as a name. That's a real rock solid name. Christian Every. I mean, what I like about it is a very inclusive name.
Yes. Yes.
What about Christian Every mistook the demon eyes of the former Schmorgies out in Bundura that still had those sort of tropical style statues in front of them?
Yeah.
From like, you know, Polynesian islands or something. Yeah. They were going for that vibe with a volcano out the front.
Yep.
And he thought, oh my God, there's an alien. Oh no, that's just an abandoned Smorgies all you can eat.
It's an abandoned Smorgies. Is that the one? There's one around there. Maybe it's somewhere else. But it's that kind of, I think it was taken over as a Smorgies. And their motto, oh, it always makes me laugh. It's going past it. Their motto is, let them eat. Which really feels like, you know, base level rule for a restaurant.
Yeah.
It's an eatery.
But you can let them
allowing them to eat is, that's what they've put on their sign.
We won't facilitate them getting food, but if they somehow manage to get some,
we'll allow it.
Gotta let them eat. Okay? We're a cool, inclusive place.
Okay.
Can I thank some people as well?
Yes, please.
I would love to thank, from Berwick, here in Victoria as well, love to thank Ali and Caitlin Collingwood.
Ali and Caitlin Collingwood. Great names.
Great names.
Collingwood, obviously, you think of the Magpies football team.
Oh, the demon eyes of Eddie Maguire.
Eddie Maguire.
No.
But they saw Nathan Buckley playing tennis.
Yep, and his pants fell down.
Breaking quarantine.
With his pants off.
With his pants off.
Well, they mistook Nathan Buckley's brown
demon eye. Demon brown eye.
For an alien.
Jesus. If they UFOs flying low.
You know, if they started explaining stuff with such outrageous explanations, it was Oprah's helicopter, it was Nathan Buckley's brown eye, you'd be like, well, like, that's so specific, it's probably true.
Yeah, they say, like, if you want to tell a convincing lie, to put an embarrassing detail in there.
Well, that's embarrassing for Nathan Buckley.
Yeah, I mean, I wasn't going the brown eye route like you guys did. I was just going for, like, his bum doesn't see a lot of sunshine, right. So it's a bit pale.
Yeah,
right. A bit glary.
Pasty ass.
Wow, and in the middle of that, pasty ass.
A brown eye, yes.
Berwick. I think of Berwick. I reckon, I don't know if he's still there, but there used to be radio ads all the time for Barry Burke from Berwick.
Oh, wow.
He had a used car dealership. Come to Barry Burke from Berwick. Hope Barry's still around.
There was also, this is also from Berwick. David Nutter Motors.
Oh, David Nutter Motors.
Which always, and my dad knew David Nutter, and I thought that was an amazing
it's
name.
It's very good. It's David Nutter.
Yeah, I guess in some ways, Berwick is Australia's Motown, Motor City.
Oh, yes, yeah. Absolutely. Well, I would argue Ringwood, what with Car City Ringwood.
Oh, yeah. Keep your eyes open for a bargain.
Keep your eyes open for a bargain.
Car City!
It's a bit free advertising there.
Yeah, fantastic. I went there once and didn't like it.
It's a piece of shit.
So there's real the bad. Anti-advertising square, square.
I would also love to thank, from Ash in Surrey in Great Britain, Aaron Wheaton.
Ooh. Oh, King Willy Wheaton. That's who he actually saw, King Willy Wheat. King Willy Weedy out in the field, creating a big crop circle.
Yeah.
But he was just having a piss. It just happened that he'd made a big circular pattern.
With piss?
Circular pattern.
How big is he?
King Willy Weedy?
Yeah.
Come on, he's the king.
He's the king. Sure, he's a piece of wheat.
Okay.
Are they so likely?
Probably quite big, hey?
Is Aaron in Surrey likely to know what the hell we're talking about?
Oh, yeah.
Everyone knows who King Willy Weedy is.
I assume King Willy Weedy is an international spokesperson for breakfast cereal.
Yeah. And if not, I mean, what the fuck? You know what I mean?
What the fuck?
Yeah.
What the fuck?
Lock the gates.
There you go, Aaron Wheaton. Enjoy that. Enjoy seeing King Willy Weedy. And finally, I would love to thank, from Dunn in NC, I'm just going to move on, Keith Williams.
Well, a fun fact is that they changed their fire engines from red to blue.
Oh,
is that it?
Yeah.
I got to relearn that fact.
Well done.
I can't remember why, but that's a thing. Red to blue.
Because of the team. Because of a team?
Oh, was it because of the university team? I don't know a fun fact about them as well.
Something to do with Michael Jordan's shorts.
No! Shut up!
His shorts actually changed fire engine fashion forever.
Forever.
He was pretty influential, I hear.
Does that have anything to do with what Keith Williams saw?
Keith Williams. Yeah, he saw Keith Richards falling out of a coconut tree.
What? A coconut tree?
Yeah. I think he got pretty badly hurt there, but we saw it happen. And when he fell out, all he could hear was a noise that he described as unearth-like.
Wow.
Yeah.
Whoa.
He'd never heard it on Earth before.
Wow.
Which is the only place he'd been.
Wow. Right.
Yeah, he's like, that must be an alien, because his sound was like, ow, ow. Like, sorry, that sounds, is that a UFO?
And is landing. That how, is that how they recorded Jumping Jack Flash?
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wow.
Chick-a-ding. That was part of his guitar part.
Amazing. Never climb a coconut tree whilst playing guitar, unless Keith Richards.
Yeah, unless you're rolling on the tape. Because he's going to get you a little bit of genius. Chicka-ching!
Anya Keith. I would finally like to thank you, if I may.
Please.
From Dublin, Lisa Monahan.
Lisa Monahan. Lisa saw Bono.
Oh, yeah, those sunglasses.
The crane man himself.
Mm. And she thought, alien!
Yeah.
And then went, oh, it's his glasses.
Oh, no.
That's Bono.
That's just Bono.
The demon eyes of Bono.
Oh, and because she's from Dublin, she probably hates him.
She hates him. She yelled out, do your taxes, you prick.
Do your taxes, yeah. You don't belong here, you alien.
Yeah, fuck off.
Fuck off. Pretty brutal,
Sorry
Lisa.
Sorry to put
Pretty
words
brutal.
In your mouth there, Lisa, but I think you'll agree with us.
Yeah, that's a good one. Good on you, Lisa. They actually took him away, the FBI. The FBI's took him away.
Yeah. The demon FBI.
Right, and his demon FBI's.
Yeah, thank you for getting there. I couldn't get it.
She knew it was there, and that's all that counts.
It was something.
So thanks, Lisa Monahan. Don't worry, we've taken care of Bono.
Taking care of Bono.
Every day. I would love to thank now from Redditch in Worcester, in the greatest of Britain's, Ellie Nicholas.
Nicholas.
Ellie Nicholas.
That's a great name. As always, fantastic set of names. Oh, Ellie Nicholas saw a big old... It was just. I mean, this is a classic, but she saw a weather balloon,
mm-hmm.
which Whoa. Had a picture on it of an alien.
No.
Yeah.
She was pranked.
It was like a Roswell alien head weather balloon.
Okay.
And they were like going, we'll just lean right into it. And Ellie's like... Holy fuck, that's a huge Roswell-headed alien.
The fuck?
So I think in a lot of ways Ellie was right to call that one in.
Yeah.
She's like more of a just better be safe than sorry.
Absolutely, yeah. She wasn't completely terrified. She's a bit spooked and thought, you know what, going to do the mature thing
she
here.
She did a double take.
Call
like a...
1-800-ALIENS.
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
How about that?
That's a good double take. Ooh.
Yeah.
Thanks, Ellie Nicholas.
Did a triple-double.
You
there.
Just inspired a triple-double.
It's never been done before.
Never been done, never been attempted, but it happened here tonight. All right.
Wow. I would finally like to thank, from Glasgow, Lewis Gemmell.
Lewis Gemmell.
He saw it was a frisbee.
No.
But it was being thrown by an alien.
Right.
Yeah.
Focus on the right part, Lewis.
Where did they get the frisbee from?
So he called in the feds. The feds came in. He's like, there's an alien here. And they came in. They grabbed the frisbee, handcuffed it, took it away.
Yeah. Wow.
And the aliens just stood there going,
What the fuck, man?
I was playing with that frisbee, man.
That, now you tell my apologize to my kid, and there was a little kid alien.
Yeah,
which Lewis didn't see. It was like he turned around, he saw this little kid like welling up, all teary because it was his favorite.
Yeah,
his favorite frisbee.
And Lewis was like, honestly, I was talking about you guys.
Yeah,
so
I wanted to
you
get
actually,
you locked up.
You actually did pretty well.
Wow.
Out of it. it's weird they didn't take you. They handcuffed a frisbee.
It's
did
honestly
you see that?
Shocking.
It's really strange.
Maybe they were aliens.
How do they even cuff a frisbee?
Yeah.
Good luck.
They punched holes in it.
They do some scientific experiments on it.
Yeah.
And then implanted some of the Frisbee DNA in Dana Scully.
Yeah. Yeah,
that's right.
Yeah.
She is now a part Frisbee.
She has given birth to 5 Frisbees.
Wow.
Yeah. It was very painful.
Yeah. But the doctor caught them all, so.
It was pretty amazing, actually, yeah.
It's a Frisboy.
Doesn't quite work for girls, so.
No.
Frizz baby.
Frizz baby.
Frizz booby.
Oh, we are losing it. Do we have anything else to do? Oh, we've got to. Of course, we've got to welcome in anyone into the Triptych Club. Let's have a look. I'm sitting out on the road, out in front of the club.
Checking the guest list.
With a clipboard, with a velvet rope. Jess is inside doing some last minute. Cocktail shaking.
Yep.
Dave's booking the band. He's looking stressed, actually. Did you remember, Dave?
Oh, thank goodness. I heard aliens and I thought, you know what? You know what Crackpot believes in those? Tom DeLonge from Angels and Airwaves. I'm afraid it wasn't the good one. Sorry, everyone.
Yeah, because he was in multiple other bands that were better than them.
No, we could have had Boxcar Racer as well. But no, it is Angels and Airwaves. So sorry. Do not ask him to play Damn It.
Yeah, that'll really fire him up. Well, let's have a look if anyone is being welcomed into the club today on episode... What episode are we doing right now?
269.
269,
oh,
nice.
Is
that what you asked?
Sure.
Comedy's always on your mind.
Well, that means that we've got 4 inductees into the club this week. Firstly, from Brisbane in Queensland. I'm pretty sure I know this person quite well. It's Kate Johnson. Did you guys meet Katie Johnson at one of the live shows sometimes? Kate, welcome into the club.
I'm meant to be hyping up, aren't I?
Yeah.
Don't wait. Kate! Yeah!
Woo! Woo-hoo!
CJ!
Not bad when he had no idea what he was supposed to be doing. So now that we've got the momentum going, hit us with number 2. I mean, hit us with number 2.
Normally
let's
I do
go,
explain that. So
I thought
I was explaining it for the audience when I explained it, but I was really explaining it for Dave. Yeah.
I was also thinking there'll be some sort of cocktails on the menu.
Oh, yes.
No,
I've jumped in.
No.
Okay.
We've got some momentum.
Yeah,
keep going.
Great.
We've absolutely lost.
CJ! Don't wait, Kate! Yes.
Also from Quesnel. In BC, Canada, Kelly Trey.
Could you BC anymore, Kelly Trey? All right. Yeah.
Woo!
I mean, I can't do anything with Quesnel.
Yeah, no. You did the right thing.
Thank you. Thanks, Kelly Trey.
From Brunswick in Victoria, it's Evan Munro-Smith.
We could just go get him.
Can I just say... Oh, hi, Evan.
Yeah, that's great. That's
he's
good.
Actually, but he does support us as Gamey Gamey Game.
That's disappointing.
Yeah.
This night's not going to be lamey, lamey, lame.
Yes! Woo!
Welcome to the Triptych Club. Jeez, Evan, that's a great effort. And also, finally, from London in England, in Great Britain, it's Anna Cox.
Throw a spanner in the works? How about we throw an Anna in the works?
Yes.
All right.
All right. And Jess, what hors d'oeuvres, what drinks are we handing out tonight?
Everything is alien themed.
Ooh.
So you will be eating off Frisbees, but they're painted like UFOs.
Whoa.
And you can get, frog in a pond?
Yeah.
Nah, alien in a river.
Oh, wow.
We've got really long, like, gravy boats filled with jelly and then tiny little edible lolly aliens. It's honestly
stuff.
Not a good week.
Wow. No, that's great.
Also, every cocktail has Maduri in it, so it's green.
Oh
my
green.
God, we'll all be
fantastic.
Shitting green all week.
Yeah, we will. Woo!
The illusions will be alien.
And if you ask nicely, we might deliver your drink through a probe.
Oh, right up your butt. All right, love that. We'd fire a shell. All right, so that brings us to the end of this episode. What a fucking schmozzle. It all, the wheels fell right off at the end.
Would you want it any other way?
No. I mean, yes, probably, but... Anyway, thanks so much for joining us, everybody. Find us at Do Go On and all of the things.
That's right. Hit us up on dogoonpod.com. Lots of links for you to check out. But we'll be back next week with another episode. But until then, thanks so much for listening and goodbye!
Later.
Bye!
This podcast is part of the Planet Broadcasting Network.
Visit planetbroadcasting.com for more podcasts from our great mates.
I mean, if you want. It's up to you.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.